Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80. $80 off your first month. Get in on that. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80.
Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how does a home become haunted? It's a question that many never have a true answer for, only more questions. Today we discuss this, plus a childhood home that has haunted a listener for many, many years, and newlyweds, their first home, turning out to be more of an adventure than they ever bargained for.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear it. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want to support it, keep it on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become a supporter of the show. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus content, as well as it's a bonus episode every week, as well as advanced episodes of the show, commercial free. All accessible to you as an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of feeling like an octopus with our new setup. My arm, I have an arm reaching over here and reaching over there for getting everything. It's kind of my, it's exact opposite of the way we had it set up before.
Your muscle memory's fighting you.
Exactly, because I was doing one thing with this arm and the other, and so it's, yeah.
You'll get retrained.
It's like I've become left-handed suddenly. I don't know how that works. It's multidextrous, right?
When you
ambidextrous. Mm-hmm. What's multidextrous? Is that where you can use your feet, too?
Maybe.
Or is that just a word I made up?
I think that might be a word you made up, but I'm not sure, because it's pretty, you know, it sounds like it might be a real word. I don't know.
It sounds like it might be a step above ambidextrous, where you can be right-handed, left-handed, and you can type with your feet and your toes. I remember seeing that on some show when we were kids, where it's like, and so-and-so was born with no arms, but now they can type with their feet. And it was like, holy shit. And this was back when it was like typewriters, you know, like the electronic ones, and they were no shit typing with their toes.
Yeah, people can do that.
That's amazing. I can barely like individually move my toes. Can you individually move your, like, I can like curl them all up simultaneously, but I can't like say, okay, I'm gonna move like the second one on the right.
Well, I couldn't you know,
can anyone?
It wouldn't be like typing the way we do with our fingers. I mean, I can move my toes quite a bit, but my toes are almost like fingers. They're really long.
You're in luck. If you ever lost a finger, you could just kind of, you could do a transplant and then it'd be like, my finger's a lot shorter than the others, but it's not too bad. Like, you'd be like, yes, it is. It would work.
No.
It would work out wonderfully. Toe hand. That sounds like a some sort of like horrible carnival thing. It's like,
it sounds like the name of a story we'd get.
It's like a story from Oscar.
I think I'm thinking Pigman.
Pigman, toe hand, you know, the part two to the Pigman. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a minute. Our supporter today is HelloFresh. I love these guys. If you've never tried this meal kit delivery service, you have got to see what it's all about, especially kids are back in school. We're kind of out of the summer, you know, routines, kind of back into regular life. And extra time, something most of us don't have a whole hell of a lot of. HelloFresh can truly, truly be a lifesaver. Your time is worth a lot. And HelloFresh takes having to go to the grocery store out of the equation, takes meal planning out of the equation. It just shows up on your doorstep. And oh my God, you have nutritious, delicious meals, probably better than the stuff you would have picked out at the grocery store to begin with, right there and ready for you. It's America's number one meal kit, easy seasonal recipes, pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. The pre-measured part, I absolutely love. I love cooking. I don't like the prep work of cooking, and HelloFresh takes most of that out of the equation. It makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. It's so simple. Even if you're into someone who, you know, you struggle with mac and cheese, trust me, you're going to do HelloFresh for a week. You're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't know it could be this easy. Step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients. You'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just 30 seconds. Say goodbye to endless grocery store trips and takeout food. HelloFresh has you covered, okay? It is awesome. It is simple. It is delicious. Totally flexible, too. Their meal plans, you can choose so many options out of them. I mean, just listen to this. Here's some of the options that I'm seeing right now as we're looking at this. Sesame beef tacos this week with quick pickled veggies and chili crema. Cherry balsamic pork chops, garlic herb couscous, and roasted broccoli. Ginger apricot pork chops with butterfly rice, roasted green beans in there. One of their best recipes of 2019 is a roasted veggie caprese bowls with farro and balsamic vinaigrette. Sweet heat shrimp tempura bowls, sesame roasted broccoli, avocado. It's awesome. They have something for all different types of diets, all different food tastes. You get so many options to choose from each week, which is lovely to get. Getting options and variety when it comes to a meal box, what a concept. Check it out for yourself. And you'll see exactly what I mean. Right now, you can get $80 off your first month. $80 off your first month. It's insane. It's like, you know, you're getting free meals here. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. All right. Enter Ghost80. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says this will be a long story, so I hope it is interesting. The story is about the childhood home that my family and I have had moved out of. This story will be a compilation of personal experiences and secondhand experiences. It happened to my twin sister. We moved into the house when we were about 5 or 6 years old. First experience happened to my sister. She was in the kitchen coloring a birthday card for our dad. I just finished mine and ran upstairs to show my mom. All the lights downstairs were off except for the kitchen light and the lights to the stairs. My sister, who was still sitting at the kitchen table, looked up and saw a woman come down the stairs. The woman was wearing all white and only had half a face. She stopped to stare at my sister for a while and then went into the garage. My sister was too young to process what had just happened and just went back to coloring. I came back downstairs, and my sister didn't mention this until years later. About a year or so later, my sister and I were lying down in our mom's room, waiting for it to be an appropriate time to wake up for the day. We used to wake up early in the morning, 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., and our mom would make us lay in bed until it was an appropriate time to wake up. Sometimes we decided to lay in bed with her. One morning, I remember hearing the horrible sound coming from the lower level of the house. It sounded like someone was wailing or crying uncontrollably. I waited about 20 minutes before trying to wake my mom. I know it was 20 minutes because I was watching the clock. I shook my mom awake and asked her if she knew what that sound was, and she said, half awake, it was nothing, and to go back to sleep. After that, the crying got more and more insane sounding and louder, as if it was coming up the stairs. At this point, I was unable to tell if it was crying or laughing. It went on for another 30 minutes and then stopped and never happened again. My bedroom seemed to be the focal point of a lot of activity in the house. Friends that came over to spend the night refused to sleep in my room, stating that it was scary or made them feel uneasy. Growing up, I had a hard time sleeping in my room and did not successfully sleep through the night in my room until I was 13 or 14 years old. The first night I did, I cried myself to sleep, too terrified to open my eyes. The mood and the air in the room felt heavy and angry. Evil, I would describe it as. As my sister and I got a little older, it became harder to ignore that something was going on in that house. First time we were unable to ignore the activity, my sister and I were probably 16 years old. She was hanging up clothes in the closet and I was downstairs. She screamed like she was being attacked and our mom and I ran upstairs and she was sobbing on the floor of the room. She said she was fine but later asked if I had ever seen anyone in my room. I didn't know what to say. She told me later that day about the woman in the white dress with half a face and how she saw her when she was younger. Then she proceeded to tell me how she saw her again that day. Only that day she was wearing a black dress and rushed at her and screamed. That night I woke up to the woman floating above my bed wearing a black dress. When the activity was really coming to a head, I had to come home sick from school. I was working on homework and blasting music when I heard the floorboards above me creaking like they do when someone is walking around upstairs. This happened often, and I usually wrote it off as the old house settling. However, it sounded like someone was running full speed from one room to the next. It was so loud that I paused my music. I heard voices. I couldn't make out what the voices were saying, but they were distinct voices. Then I heard my guitar fall on the ground, and then someone running away from the sound of the strings and the boom the guitar made. At this point, I thought someone had broken into the house and hid in the closet and called my mom. I told her I thought I could get out of the house, so I ran as fast as I could to my neighbor's house, and while I was running out of the house, I heard someone stomping down the stairs. I looked behind me, and there was no one following me, and my neighbors called the police. The neighbors were watching the house to make sure they would see if anyone had run out after me, but no one did. When the police got there, everything was in order, as it had been left. The guitar didn't have a scratch on it, and was still on the stand. That night and every night following that, I was awoken to someone grabbing my legs or rolling over my bed. It happened so often that it hardly woke me up anymore. I would stir awake and then fall right back to sleep. I'd still hear footsteps around my bed and around the house, but only ever felt touches for the longest time. I got to the point where I was being grabbed so much that I would bruise or be scratched. If I ever felt too much negative energy, I would just sleep with my sister. The night before we cleaned the house, I was asleep in my bed. The house's energy felt particularly heavy and negative that night. As I mentioned before, a lot of the activity was centered around my room. I could feel the entity's presence, and I could feel the anger and evil intentions of the entity. So much so that I often would fall asleep reading the Bible out loud because I truly felt that if I didn't, I would have been harmed severely. The night before we cleaned the house was a night like that. I woke up to grabbing on my leg like I did every night, turned to investigate the hallway and saw a black inhuman figure crawling on the floor. It was crawling in sporadic directions, almost like a spider. The lights in the hallway were on so I could see it clearly. It crawled into my room and under my bed. I was paralyzed with fear, but I knew that I had to get out of that room for my own safety. I literally jumped out of bed and ran to go into my sister's room, but she was already at the door. She told me she was about to come ask me if I wanted to sleep in her room, and that she saw something that scared her. I asked her what she saw, wondering if it was the same thing I saw. She said that she woke up and turned over to see me in her bed, staring at her with a blank expression, not blinking. She tried to talk to me and just kept staring. Then she reached her hand to the edge of the bed and tried to touch me, and her hand went straight through me. She freaked out, stared at me a few seconds, closed her eyes, And then, when she opened them, I was no longer in her bed. After I was no longer in the bed anymore, the covers started to choke her. It took all the strength in her might to get the covers off of her, and she came to me, except I was already at her door. The next day, we told her mom about everything. She didn't believe us, but had the house cleansed anyway. The activity ceased, and the feeling the home had was instantly lighter. It was strange. We'd been living like that for so long, I didn't know what normal would have felt like. Thanks for listening and reading my story.
That's one of those times where we talk about it's like the frog in the pot. You know, you live there and stuff starts happening and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And you don't realize until, like when they had the house cleaned, how bad it had gotten. Mm-hmm. How the whole thing, you know, just made such an oppressive feeling.
Yeah, it just builds up and builds up. It's like watching people age, you know, mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Just earlier today, you know, the kids are going back into school. So, you know, as a parent, you get kind of reminiscent, like, oh, I remember when they were this age and that age. And Harp was in here and I pulled up some old videos and it's like, oh, my God, it's just, although her face hasn't changed since about the age of 3.
Right.
She's always looked perpetually about 7. Mm-hmm. but it's cute. You know, like she's just a shorter version of herself.
She is.
But it was, you know, it's just, but you don't notice the difference. You don't notice the height. You don't notice them getting, mm-hmm. you know, older. And it's the exact same thing with this, with you know, an oppressive feeling that slowly comes on.
Yeah.
You notice if it's suddenly you're in a different environment, it's like, oh, holy shit, this is different. But if it just kind of slowly inches its way in, you know, mm-hmm. that's why. I mean, you haven't noticed that I have actually completely changed the color of the living room down here. What I've done is I've slowly painted a new tint. It's going to be black eventually. Right now, it's very dark brown. But because it's been going from a shade of white every day to this, you still think it's white.
I would notice. Wait. As soon as you put the first tint up, I would notice.
I know.
That's not going to fly.
Slowly. It's like on the computer where you can, you know, like slowly change the shade. That would be interesting. That would be a really interesting experiment to do. It would be crazy hard to do. But if you could get someone to, it had to be like a closet or something where it could be done overnight, every night. When the person is sleeping, you just slowly, slowly inch those shades differently until it's a completely different color. And then it would take like months, but eventually you get there. And then the person's like, I don't remember this room being blue.
Well, Harp had that moment when I painted the ceiling in the kitchen. She was like, our kitchen adjoins a living room. And it's a dark, almost navy blue. And when I painted the ceiling a light blue, she was like, oh, when did you paint the walls? It's like it's been
a year.
Dark blue for a year and a half. And it was a dramatic change when we did it. It went from a light gray to a dark blue. So it was like, that's not new. She's like, okay, I really like it. It's just because we mm-hmm. made the ceiling change that she noticed.
You know, I can be like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll obviously notice when we do something. Mm-hmm. What I'm really bad at is remembering what something was. After we've done it, I'm like, what did that look like once? And you look at, I mean, it's funny because I'll look at pictures then of some things and I'll be like, I don't remember it like that. I don't know. It's like once it's like to an area that I'm happy with it and I'm comfortable with it, it's like all memories of the previous version are gone.
And see, I take that as a compliment. If you, because like when you tell me, oh, it's like it's always been this way. That to me is your highest compliment because that means it's right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's how when it feels comfortable and right, that's, I think, how you should feel. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's hard for me to then remember what something looked like when it was off. And I think that's it's almost like I just wipe it clean. It's like, need that space.
Yeah.
And deleting old files is kind of what I'm doing in my mind. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you like the program, support it. Become an extra podcast person. That's our main support of the show. You go to ghostpodcast.com. And sign up for that, or patreon.com/realghoststories to be a supporter of the program. Next one says, my wife and I bought a small house in Marietta, Georgia when we were first married. This was 2005. My wife worked from home and swore she would hear people talking in the other room. She'd investigate and find that she was the only person there. I'm a creature of habit. I put my wallet, car keys, BlackBerry, in 2005 in the same place every night. One day I noticed the BlackBerry was on the tank of the toilet in our hall bathroom. I told my wife if she wanted to look at the BlackBerry, all she had to do was ask. She swore she didn't move the BlackBerry. A third incident was the back door to our deck was open one night. Not just unlocked, but open. I made sure they were locked every night before I went to bed. By this time, we thought something was odd. However, we didn't think we had a ghost. One night we were in bed and our dog began to whine. We kenneled her, and she never made a sound all night. However, this night, she was whining. When I got up to see what was going on, I found myself scared as hell. In a very dark house, a few steps from the kennel in our family room, I heard a male voice. I couldn't understand what the voice was saying, but I heard a man's voice as clear as day. The voice sounded like someone talking to a small child or dog. Aren't you a good boy or pretty dog? Of course, there was nothing in the room when I flipped on the light. Our black lab's ears were down, her tail was tucked. Our Sam wasn't afraid of much outside of thunderstorms. She looked scared that night, though. I wear glasses when I'm at home. Again, being a creature of habit, I put my glasses on in our dresser in the same spot every night before going to bed. One morning, I couldn't find my glasses. I asked my wife if she had seen them, and I looked everywhere, but nothing. By this time, we all began to joke and had a ghost. And my mother-in-law, who babysat our infant son every day, began to call the ghost Bob. Why, I don't know. After 2 days of not having my glasses, I called out, Bob, bring my glasses back. A few hours later, my glasses were in the exact same spot I leave them every evening on the dresser. My wife was in the shower, and I called to her, where did you find my glasses? And she said, I didn't find them. After toweling off, I pointed out the glasses to her. They were in the exact place I put them every night. My wife has seen black masses. A black figure seemed to poke its head around the corner to look at her. She told us that she couldn't see through the black mass figure. Our cat used to sleep at the foot of our bed every once in a while. She'd sit up on the bed and stare down at an empty, dark hallway. I've had my golf bag knocked over in the middle of the night only to have my stand, the golf bag, back up. I try every way possible to make it fall. Jump up and down next to it, blowing on it. Golf bag stood solid. At night, our house seemed electric, kind of the sound or feeling of a guitar amp that's pulled in, that's plugged in, but no one's playing. Or if you stood near a utility substation, you couldn't hear the hum of the electricity, but you could almost feel it. Finally, we had paranormal investigators come to our house. Roswell, Georgia paranormal investigators brought night vision cameras, digital recorders, and a man they called a sensitive. I thought sensitive was BS. However, the guy was a former Marine and police officer, not someone that would make things up. During his walkthroughs, the sensitive said he saw a late teen to an early 20-year-old male in our house. He said the ghost or spirit looked to be of a farm kid from the 1920s or so. He wore dirty overalls and had long, greasy hair. It was his opinion that the young man was attached to the land and probably was in several houses in the area. Sensitive also said there was a female spirit in our house, but he felt the female would never interact with us. It was almost like she was a recording. The paranormal group never caught anything on camera. However, they did get two EVPs. The first was a female voice that seemed to moan. The second was creepy. One investigator asked if he or Bob could let Tim and Dina know that he was in the house anytime that he wanted to be. On the recording, you can hear a male voice clearly say yes. I can send you the EVP if you want. Our house wasn't considered haunted by the investigators, and everything that happened in our house could have had a logical explanation. However, you get used to the sounds of your house, and you know what you heard or saw. I was confident there was a ghost in our house. I would speak out loud to Bob. I'd ask him to watch over my son, or I'd tell him to keep quiet. I felt weird speaking to an empty room. We never thought something was out to hurt us, but we were freaked out numerous times. When we moved out of the house, I told Bob to stay there and be kind to the new owners. Finally, a couple of years after we sold the house, I saw the owner of the home before us, the guy who bought the house in 2005. I asked him if anything weird ever happened in the house, and the first thing he said to me was, "Like ghosts?" I said, "Yes." With an odd look on his face and a 10-second pause, he said, "Nope, never." We found your podcast on a recent vacation. I hope this makes the show. Thank you, Tim.
I think somebody was covering their ass.
Like ghosts? You mean like a freaky spirit that wanders around the house at night and knocks things over? Something like that? Is that the weird thing you're referring to? Yes. No, never. Why would you say that?
You know, with stuff going missing, the way the medium said that the spirit might be haunting several homes in the area, it makes you wonder if he's moving things around from house to house.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Like, oops, these glasses actually go in that house. I need to take them back.
You know, we haven't had a story like that yet. You always run into some every once in a while where it's like, I haven't heard that yet. What was the one at the show the other night? Someone had one. I'm like, you know, it's rare that I get to say that. Do you remember? It wasn't even during the show. It was when we were just chatting with folks.
Yeah. Yeah. It involved a razor flying off a handle, holder.
I remember it. Yeah. And he said he may call in. So I'm probably, somebody's going to hear the if he ever calls in.
I hope he does. It was pretty funny.
It was. He said, okay, so he was a teenager. He got his first chest hair. Mm-hmm. Very first. And he was very proud of it. Mine came in like a forest, so I can't say like, oh my God, I had, you know, there's one chest hair that was exciting. It was like, holy shit, I'm Michael McDonald. he said he has one chest hair, and then he was taking a shower, and what was it that triggered it? Something triggered the razor that his mom had to literally, it was very well secured to the mm-hmm. wall in the shower, things that don't typically fall. And he said he'd never had it fall since or prior. And it just came up, and where it nicked him, it took his one chest hair. Was that accurate? Is that a good description?
It was something like that. And there was some sort of dialogue between him and another family member and the joke about, oh, you think you're all something because of your chest hair or something, you know. And so the ghost took care of that.
Yeah. Figure. That was a good one. And with that story too, there's a couple like, oh, haven't heard that before. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Another letter, it says, this story is about a house. There are many stories about this house I must tell. This is just a few of the occurrences, incidents, sightings that went on in this house within the time I lived in it with my family. If you read my previous story, it also took place in this house and tried to investigate the history of it, only to find that each family hand has fallen into, all have lost this house and have been unable to keep it. It is currently lived in. From the time we moved to 5 years later, I have learned that this house has gone through two more owners. My family and I moved into this house in the summer of 1992. And we're going to see the house just right before we moved in. When I first walked into the house, a tremendous feeling of hostility overcame me. You could tell the house had been picked up, cleaned up as much as the real estate people could have to do it so it was viewed. The tile floors were broken. I could tell it had been done purposely, almost like whoever did it had taken a hammer to the tiles. The backyard looked completely isolated, as if no one had cared for it in some time. And I noticed some beat up kids' clubhouse. Something told me to leave it alone and continue looking around the house. At the time that I was in the house, I felt an overwhelming feeling of uneasiness. It wouldn't be long before I would find out why I felt so uncomfortable and uneasy from the first day I set foot in that door. It went about 2 to 3 years without paying attention to things we couldn't explain. Items of clothing disappearing, unexplained noises, our dogs acting strange. Then things got a bit more serious. I remember one night staying up late playing video games. All the lights were off and all that lit up the room was the portable screen from the game console I was playing on. I had this feeling like someone was in the room with me. I was lying down on the couch, felt like someone was standing behind me watching me play. I became nervous and quickly turned off my game and hid under the covers. I had the strongest feeling that if I dared to take the covers off and look, I would see something, but was unsure as to what. I forced myself to sleep that night. On another occasion, my mom and brothers had gone to sleep, and my stepdad and I were the last ones to go to bed. I turned off the lights and said goodnight to my dad, and he replied, night, and there was a short pause. Then a loud and deep voice was heard. I did not make out what it said, but my dad heard it too. I even thought it was him trying to scare me and said, hey, nice try. He told me that he had not been there. It was not him. I think we both got scared and ignored what happened and just went to sleep. I refused to sleep in my room after some time. I always told my mom and dad that it was because I liked sleeping on the couch in the living room and having the TV all to myself, but this was not true. My room had two big windows, and for some time before my dad had that part made into a wall, it had a door that went from my closet into the backyard. Whenever I slept in my room, I hardly ever got a full night's sleep. I was always woken up by sounds that came from out in the back, sounds that were not my dog because he slept on the other side by the sliding glass doors. It was whispering. I had a fear that someone or something was watching me or waiting to watch me. I always had the strongest urge to pull up my blinds and get it over with, but never found the courage. There was also a shadow in our room. Now, I don't know if it was more than one or just the one, but it was all over the house. I saw this shadow. My mom, dad, second to youngest brother, cousin, they all saw it. I just walked by. Many times I saw it through the side of my eye. It would be out in the front of the house as well. I think my dog would see it too because he would bark uncontrollably like someone was there. The shadow never did anything or really scared me or the others, but it made its presence known to us. My second youngest brother was given the back room that was right next to mine, and he was getting older and wanted his own space. It was the middle of the night and we were all asleep. Suddenly I woke up to my brother running out of his bedroom crying out for my mom. I saw him pass by and got up to go see what happened to him. I remember him telling my mom as he cried that he had opened his eyes and saw a white cat-like animal at the foot of his bed. It was staring at him. My mom tried calming him down by telling him it could have been just the pillow. She comforted him and he fell asleep in her room. As I made my way back to the couch, I looked towards a small hallway that leads to me and my brother's room and just froze. I just could not bring myself to go and check. As our time in that house grew and closed to an end, more and more things became visible. In that restroom that was near the kitchen, an image began to show on the green marble floor. It was an outline of an angel. It was so clear, from the head to the wings. We even took pictures to show a friend once. Outlines of faces started forming on the wood in the living room. It was no trick to the mind. We all saw them clearly without having to point them out to each other. They seemed like demonic faces to me. Right before we moved, another angel image appeared on the other bathroom's white marble floor. It was as clear as the one on the green marble floor. My stepdad lost that house. Timing could not have come any sooner. We were all overwhelmed, and the hostility that the home had was contagious on many occasions. There were times that I did not even know myself anymore. I wish I could say that was the last I saw of the house. You see, this house follows me in my dreams. I found myself back inside of it numerous times with horrible things waiting. Horrible things that awaken me until this day and rob me of my sleep.
So we've had a rash of stories lately that involved game consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Either being turned on or something coming up when somebody's using it. I don't know if it's just because it's so common that everybody has them or if we need a bell for that too.
I will say this about modern game consoles and those of us who grew up with original Nintendos and Ataris and stuff like that. The first couple times this happened to me, I was a little weirded out. I'm like, what? Oh, but I know like sometimes static electricity can, you know, trigger things. I am convinced this house is not haunted. I don't have any issues here. I don't feel anything. Never have had anything. The only thing I could say that's happened is the game consoles, the new ones, do from time to time turn themselves on. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of them are set to auto update.
Okay.
And quite often there's a clock timer on them that will trigger and then it has to turn on. And sometimes one of ours, I think the Xbox makes the sound of like a car starting up because it came with like a racing game. So it's like a racing theme, which is kind of weird when you're in a room and all of a sudden it sounds like a car starting on the other. It's like, what the hell is that? And I've had that happen. And I've also had them turn on when I've just been in a room and I've turned another item on that was near it or connected to the same power source. Not like I flipped the power source on and then boom, it all comes on. It was like there's a lamp or something connected to the same power strip. and I've turned that on, and all of a sudden, boom, the game system turns on. That to me is just, well, it got a quick surge or something, and it turned itself on. Because a lot of these consoles also turn on with the controller. There's usually like a button on the controller that will also trigger it to turn on.
Okay.
So they're a lot easier than the old, literally, you know, spring-loaded power button of the Nintendo days. So every time a modern Xbox or a PlayStation turns on, or Wii, whatever, I'm not that weirded out by it until, like, the timing is really questionable with something else going on in the story. Like, I saw a shadow figure down the room, and all of a sudden the Xbox turns on. It's like, well, you know, the Xbox may really truly have nothing to do with it other than there's a wave of energy going through your room.
Sure, that it caused an electrical surge too.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's not the X, it's the same way that we used to have that, there was a toy. It was like a Melissa and Doug toy where it was a a magnet. It was a baby toy.
Yeah, and you put like the little fire truck where the fire truck goes and the police car where it goes. And when you did that, it made the noise.
Yeah,
you know, made the fire truck noise or the police car noise or the helicopter noise. And when we turned the light on the living room, if all the magnets weren't in it, it would make those noises.
And it wasn't plugged into anything. It was a battery-operated toy that was literally in a toy box on the other side of the room from where the light switch was.
And it creeped me out because we had just started doing the show. And I was like, oh, no.
It was.
Oh, no.
But then I figured it out because I'm like, honey, watch. Every time I flip this light switch over here, boom, it's triggering it. So that is an EMF spike where, but it's not caused by paranormal. It's caused by there's a power surge going through these and that small wave of electricity still passing through your room, that's what's triggering it. And I don't know if that has to do with it not being grounded properly or what it is, or if it just happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, that was that. So in this case, I don't know. What do you think?
There's other stuff going on.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would definitely lean to that. But it is interesting because these video game consoles, like you said, we've heard about this so commonly of them being triggered with other stuff going on. They're also the Xbox, the what is it? The eye thing that we use when we play the bowling game. I can't. Some people have developed that into a ghost hunting tool. In itself.
Track faces?
Yes.
Okay.
Track figures.
Okay.
Because it goes off of stick figures. And people, there's one that's not really truly using that anymore, but originally it was developed using that piece from the Xbox for picking out figures that you could not see in ghost hunting. It's just interesting that it's connected. These video game consoles are being involved in so many ghostly things these days. So it's going to bug me forever. What is that called? The Xbox. No, it's not like the eye. What is it? There's like 10 people screaming it at me right now. Xbox. Eye sensor. Kinect.
Okay.
It's the Xbox Kinect, spelled with a K. So there you go. All right. That's going to wrap up today's program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. But what about the power pad? We should get the power pad involved. Remember the power pad?
No, what is that?
That's the thing that was on Nintendo, the original, and it had like two rows. One was red, one was blue, and there was like, you could do like track and field and run on it. And
okay.
I don't know. I never had one. It was like only like the super rich kids had it from what I remember. I don't know. Forgive me if that's not what it was, but I don't remember any of my friends having it because I don't think we were lucky if we had Nintendo. So anyway, that wraps up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person over at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus episodes or at patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm saving up for a power pack. So maybe I could get one of these days. Anyway, keep us on the air. Appreciate your support. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.